Hey everybody, today we will be continuing our Psalms of Summer series by looking at Psalm 55. So if you have a Bible or your phone or your tablet and you want to follow along today, we'll be in Psalm 55 from the NIV translation. Now this is week 3 of our series, and up to this point we have looked at Psalm 23 was last week, and Psalm 103 kicked it off a few weeks ago. Now both of those psalms were a little more kind of uplifting, I would say. We talked about God's love, talked about how God cares for us in these 2 weeks, and they were good. They're kind of ones that might make you feel pretty good about God in your life, and they should, but not all the psalms are like that. And this week is different. This one's a little tougher to take in because it talks about when we're attacked. And that's what the psalmist, David in this case, writes. He's being attacked. What do we do when we're attacked? Now, this is not just having something bad happen in our lives or going through a trial or struggle, but actually being attacked. So what we're going to do today is actually look at the end of the psalm first, the last two verses, to kind of give us our introduction and our main idea as to what we're supposed to do when attacked. Then we'll go back and look at the rest of the psalm and see the types of attack David talks about, and then the why we need to rely on God and trust in God during these attacks. All right, so let's do it. Psalm 55, like I said, we're going to start at the end. So let's look at 55 verses 22 and 23 to start us off, and we'll see where we go from there. It says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. With the bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you." Now remember, this is all about David being attacked. So when he says, cast your cares on the Lord, it means whatever is troubling you. And in this case, David feels like he's being attacked. And it says, God sustains you. Now this isn't God taking everything away. This isn't God saying, it'll never happen. Bad things won't happen. You'll never be attacked. We've talked about this in other weeks, that bad things and difficult times and darkness will still occur. But by God sustaining us, it means he'll help us keep going, keep us safe, protect us. And he's saying, God, you will do that. You will bring them down, the bad people, the people that have attacked me. God's going to bring them down, and you'll sustain us. God, you'll sustain the people that follow you, that live in obedience to you, right? That are followers of God. So what we're supposed to do is put our trust and our obedience still in God and not worry about dealing with the wicked or the people that are attacking us or the evil that's there. Because it says that's God's job. It says you, God, will bring down the wicked, not us. That's not our job. It's God's job. That's part of God's purpose. But for us, as David says, as for me, I will put my trust in you. Putting our trust in God. It's kind of like this. I mentioned before, I coached youth soccer for a number of years before my kids were born. And I remember always telling my players, your job is just to get out there and play and listen to my instructions for you. If I have something I want you to do. If something doesn't go your way out there, primarily thinking of if there's a call from maybe the official that you don't like or that bugs you, you don't say anything. That's not your job. That's coach's job. That's my job. I'll deal with that. You just get out there and listen to what I have you doing. It's not so different here with God. He's going to deal with the attacks with the bad. He wants us to just follow him and keep our trust in him. So here's what I want us to think about today. When attacked, don't throw in the towel. All right, don't throw in the towel and give up. When attacked, throw your trust in God. Throw everything you are, your trust, all of that to help you get out. Throw that to God. That's what we're going to look at today, is that we put our trust, we throw our trust in God. Let's go back to the beginning of the psalm, and now let's read about the attacks that David talks about. So this is Psalm 55. We're going to start with verses 1 through 11. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away, stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its street. This is attack number one, and this is a known enemy. This is a hostile group, somebody that is expected to oppose. All right, now this is difficult. It's hard because we don't like to think about the fact that we have people that oppose us, that are enemies. And that's what David is getting at, though. It's a known enemy, and what they're doing is saying terrible things. They're slandering him and cunning at him. And this might cause crazy inner turmoil and stress inside, but it originates from the enemy outside. That's the point. Now, this part, some people would say either fight or flight. I've heard that before, right? Fight or flight kicks in. One response would be to fight, to take a swing back somehow. We're going to get to how we're not supposed to do that later. But what David talks about here is actually the flight piece. He says, I could be like a dove, have the wings like a dove to fly away and stay in the desert. Literally just fly away. Thing is, wild doves were actually known to nest in the remote, inaccessible areas of cliffs and deserted regions. You could not get to them. That's what he's saying. He wants to go that far away. He wants to just hole up and be gone. And this seems like a totally normal, reasonable response. The attack, the slander, the pain, it is sweeping. It's raging like a storm. It doesn't seem like it's letting up, so he just wants to go. But he's not supposed to. He's got to stay and put his trust in what God will have him do. And it's hard because David's saying, I can see it right here in my city, in God's city. That's where this is happening. So he's saying, God, okay, I can't run. Confound their voices. This is a reference probably back to Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel story. If you're not familiar, in this story, people wanted to build a tower to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves. God saw that and said no. So what he did is confuse their languages. They all spoke different languages, so they couldn't communicate and continue to build. David is saying, confuse their words. Maybe then they can't slander me. Or if they can just stop talking, I'll be able to hear God more clearly. So he's asking God to help confuse the language. Stop letting them slander me. But he's being attacked by an enemy he knows is there. An enemy he would probably be expected to be attacked from. I watch a lot of nature shows with my son Jeremiah. We've talked about him before. He's a big, big animal nature guy. Loves it all, right? And there's one we watch on African cats, and there is a family of cheetahs in this movie. And it's the mom and it's these three little babies. I'm gonna talk about the little baby cheetahs for a second. They have a known enemy. At night, this movie tells you hyenas will come out and are a very real threat to these babies because they come and they would eat the baby cheetahs. So these little cheetahs know they have an enemy. They can't run, they can't get away because they're still too small, too young. They can't fight back yet because they're too small. So what do? They have to rely on the mama cheetah, whose name is Sita in this movie. And Sita is not a mama you would mess with. So they have to rely. They have to trust in somebody else to protect them, to keep them safe from a known enemy. That's not all that different from what we're supposed to do. With God, we have a known enemy, known opposition. We want to trust in God to handle it. Now, opposition for us today might come in many different forms. You may experience somebody directly attacking you verbally in some way, shape, or form. I feel like, man, they are just out to get you. Maybe it's for what you do, for who you are, you dress, who knows what it's for. But they're just coming at you. And I feel like this happens now, it seems like, way more on social media. You know, it used to be back in the day before all that, it was like locker room or hallway talk where somebody was, you know, dissing somebody behind their back. Well, now it's just, you just put somebody on social media and you just put them on blast without thinking twice about it. They can come at you so easily. Or maybe it's more subtle ways, maybe it's passive-aggressive comments or something like that, but they're coming at you. None of them are easy to deal with. None of them are pleasant. All of them are painful, and it hurts when we are attacked. But our response is to be the same. To put our trust in God, to not just run and hide, but to put our trust in God in the face of slander, attack, opposition, and let Him guide us through it. Let Him work us through it. Right? So when we're attacked by a known opposition or known enemy, to trust in God, as we said. Throw our trust in God, right? That's attack one. There's a second type of attack we're going to hear about. This is Psalm 55, 12 through 15, just a few verses here. It says this: if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. This is betrayal. Straight up betrayal. Right? Attack one was from a known enemy, somebody you would expect maybe to oppose you. Now that's not fun or easy, but I think that kind of attack is actually easier to stomach than this one. Because this is one that comes from a close friend, a confidant, a person like you maybe. Someone, as it says, enjoyed spiritual fellowship at the house of God. This could be a ministry partner, somebody you have done things in the church right alongside. This hurts. This is brutal. It's usually out of nowhere. This just sucks. We don't know who David specifically is writing about here. Nobody's really sure. But it's kind of interesting David writes this, because if we remember a few weeks ago, we talked about David committing adultery with Bathsheba and then basically setting up her husband Uriah to be killed in battle. David did that. David betrayed Uriah. Now, he was killed and didn't know it was David, but David, in essence, did this. I don't know if they were that close, but it's a similar kind of idea of betrayal, all right? It's this thing of it's surprise and painful and hurtful. It causes people to lack trust. I don't think David would have an easy time trusting others after feeling this type of betrayal. So the response might be, the normal response, is to take a swing back for vengeance, for revenge. And that's what he says in verse 15. The psalmist now links this betrayer and the enemy from the first part all together. Now they're just all his enemies. They're all opposed to him. And what he wants is them taken down to what's called Sheol, the place of darkness after death. And he wants it done by surprise. He wants them down there where the spirit of darkness lives. He wants it by surprise. He wants it to be abrupt. You know, maybe while they think, hey, we got this going on, we're doing really well up here. He wants them taken by surprise, abruptly. It's meant to be brutal and public, because he wants the world to see the wickedness that they are and make them pay. He wants it seen by all because he feels betrayed. We mentioned earlier throwing in a towel, right? That's kind of a boxing metaphor, boxing illustration, because as fighters are going at it, if one corner throws in the towel, they're basically saying, fight's been too much. We're throwing in the towel, we're done with the fight. But boxers also have people in their corner, if you think about it. So they're out there fighting, but they have a lot of times a trainer and what's called a cut man in their corner. Now, the cut man is interesting because fighters will get bloodied and cut and big bruised lips and eyes and swelling and all this stuff. And their cut man is in their corner, who's supposed to help deal with the bleeding and the swelling so that they can continue the fight. And you got to trust this guy, because he's the one that's going to say, yeah, you're good to continue. Got that bleeding stopped. You don't have to worry about that spot. Well, imagine a cut man that you've been in a ton of fights with, and he's helped you out for so long. You've been through round after round after round, and fight after fight after fight. And now you get out there, and you realize in one fight, he totally turned his back. He said you were good, but there's still a massive gash right up here that's going to cause you all kinds of problems. He's completely turned on you. Somebody that they trusted, was in their corner, turned on. It's one of those things that I wish didn't exist for us. You know, for that boxer, of course, they don't want it to exist. But even for us, with people close to us. Some of you have probably experienced some type of betrayal by someone close to you. And it's so hard to deal with. It doesn't make sense. It hurt. For me, it makes me question things. I start to question myself. Did I do something here? Was I wrong? And then I start to ask questions of God sometimes, like, why was this person in my life? Why did I do these things with them, God? Why did you put them here? Now, we're not supposed to question God. I know that, but it's hard not to. Because betrayal, honestly, it can just jack you up. And I know that. But we're not supposed to question God. We're supposed to what? Trust in Him. And to continue to trust. Because one of the natural responses now is, in the first section was to run and to hide. This one now is to fight back. You know, if we're talking about that boxer from the illustration, to throw that counterpunch right at the guy that betrayed him. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to just keep our trust in Him. But it's so hard, because when we're being slandered, when we're having things said about us, it gets really tempting to start to maybe mentally or actually compose that social media post or video that's just gonna rip that betrayer apart. It's gonna expose everything about them and crush them, because that's how you feel. And I think that's human nature, and I get it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to throw the trust in God, not throw a punch back. Throw that trust in God and let Him guide us through it some more. Just like we're not supposed to run away like and hide like that dove, not supposed to throw the punch back. Okay, Jeff, this sounds terrible. Am I not supposed to do anything? No, that's not true. There's nothing. You put your trust in God. Put the trust in God. We're going to see why, finally. Why? What is God going to do? Is He going to do something about this? Well, the great answer is yes, He will. Let's look at 55, 16 through 21. It's the last section we're going to look at here and see what God's going to do for us. Verse 16, as for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and He hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Even though many oppose me, God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, He will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they draw swords. God hears us when we call. So we trust in God. Why? Because when we call Him, He hears us. He answers. It's never going to voicemail. That's in essence what we're getting here. There's no voicemail. He doesn't need us to text Him to get back to us. He hears us. He responds because He is a God of justice and a God of righteousness. So call Him during an attack. Call to Him. David prayed consistently at references 3 different times a day. No matter how big the enemy, the attack, or whatever is going on, God rescues, God protects, God is there. We can trust Him. God is still the same God, as it says, enthroned of old. It's the same God that He was and the same God He's going to be, which is one that is a protector, one that's going to hear us, one that's going to be there for us, one that is trustworthy. And He's also one that opposes those who don't fear Him, opposes those who oppose Him. The people that are too secure in what they have on their own, that they don't think they need God. Those that are too set in their own sins to want to change, that don't think they need to change, so they keep sinning against God. And those that just don't care how they hurt others, how they hurt God. God is opposed to them. The people that attack and betray followers of God are opposed to God. God opposes them. But here's the really cool thing about God. God will never be like that betrayer or like those enemies. He can't be. All right, as it says here, right, that the enemy, the betrayer, is one that's a smooth talker. You know, words like butter. You know, you kind of see the guy with the smile and just chatted up. It sounds great. You know, the talk was smooth like oil. Oil was used to smooth things out back in the day. But those words were actually meant to harm. God doesn't work like that. God's words, God's promises are honest. They're true. They're reliable. And they're more than just words. They are a foundation that we can stand on. They are something that we can build our lives on. Something that we can trust in. So when we're attacked, by either a known opposition or by somebody that was close to us and we're betrayed, we stand on God. Call to Him. Go to Him. Yes, I always tell you just about every week, spend some time with God. Yeah, well, I want you to do it. And I think we should. Again, it doesn't go to voicemail. He answers. And then keep going to Him consistently, constantly. He's answered before. He'll answer now. He will answer again. And then guess what? He will deal with those that have attacked you. You don't have to. He doesn't like those that oppose Him. He will handle that. That is not part of what we have to do. We don't have to concern ourselves with that. We just concern ourselves with keeping our trust and our obedience and our focus on God. He's reliable. He's not a sweet talker. He is a complete straight shooter, but He is one that is more honest and trustworthy than anyone else we will come across. So go to Him. Give Him your cares, your worries. Give Him the attacks coming against you. Give Him your trust to handle. So if you feel attacked at all, in any way, a couple things. Don't run and hide completely. It's okay to, you know, feel a little bit like, I just want to curl up. But don't just think just running away and doing nothing is the way to go. Keep that trust in God. Don't strike back. Don't hit back. Don't swing back in whatever way. And man, that at the time seems like it feels good to do. But again, keep that trust in God. Don't run and hide. Don't strike back. Trust that God will be God. Think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus was attacked. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was falsely accused of things. He was unfairly tried and sentenced. He didn't run and hide. Jesus didn't swing back. He trusted His Father. Because He knew God will be God. God's plan is what we're supposed to follow, and I trust in Him. Jesus forgave what seems like the unforgivable. Because of that, we can have our relationship with God. And we can learn to forgive, but we can also have God there to put our trust in. The God that's going to help us through these attacks, no matter where they're coming from or how painful they are. And He will not let us down. God sustains, He protects, and He will deal with the attackers in His way. So don't quit. Don't fire back. Don't throw in the towel. Just throw your trust, throw your cares, your trust, everything. Throw it to God. Let's pray that way. God, I thank You that You are God that we can trust. God, that You are so reliable and trustworthy and honest, and that You do not change. You'll always be that way. God, Your faithfulness, Your trustworthiness, Your love, Your goodness is the same as it's always been and the same as it always will be. So I pray that if we face any sort of attacks, if we're facing them now or we face them in the future, and we're feeling beaten up by it, God, that we would put our trust in You, that You would sustain us, and You'd build us back up, and You would help us to continue to just follow You in those times. We thank You for Your trustworthiness. In Your name.